Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And we're going back to the 70s.
The late 70s.
Where disco was live. And bottoms were belled. The look on your face was perfect.
Bell bottoms? Wasn't the 70s.
Yeah.
That was the 60s.
They still had them in the 70s with all the disco stuff. They flared out.
Oh, that was flared.
How
pants.
About? How
that
about?
Wasn't bell
okay,
bottoms.
Fine. Where the disco was live and the suits were zooted.
I think that was the 40s.
No, they still had zoot suits in the 70s. Anyway, it was seersucker suits.
You couldn't
in the 40s.
Even come up with five movies for 1978. How do you know they had zoot suits in the 70s?
Anywho, welcome to the show.
What did you? How long were you alive in the 70s? 2 years.
2 years and a little over 3 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Real quick before we get started, we were talking about this. I got the CBS All Access and I watched Discovery. I take back a lot of the things I said about it. I really enjoyed
you know,
it.
If everybody who actually watched Discovery instead of just talked shit about Discovery watched it,
oh yeah,
they would be taking it back.
So, like, you know, I didn't talk a lot of shit about it.
But
I just talked
did.
About why. But I talked about why I didn't want to watch it.
I
didn't talk about, like, you know.
And then you watched it, and you were like, the things that I didn't want to watch actually were really good.
So the only thing that bothers me is it's before the original trilogy. I still wish it would have been in
but
the
then,
future.
Then we
and
were
so,
talking about that before
yeah,
we came
I know.
On here.
And
my
works.
Argument
yeah,
won
right.
that
you're
Enterprise
right.
was shoehorned in there.
You're right.
Whereas Discovery so. Actually drifts right into
yeah.
it perfectly.
So
the only thing that they haven't done yet, and I haven't watched season two, is you haven't seen any human looking Klingons yet. Mm-mm. We might though. You so, never know.
Yeah, I'm 30 minutes into season two.
Oh, okay.
But Picard was really good. You haven't watched Picard yet.
No.
So
maybe this week, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe whenever I'm feeling froggy and
it would be cool to talk about. So
what? Subscribe to another streaming network?
Just you know what you could do? Do you get a discount on gift cards at work or no?
No.
No. No. So. I was going to say, just get a gift card.
You know gift cards are just cash, right?
I get that.
Yeah, you don't get discounts unless you like use credit cards, and then you still don't get discounts because they're charging you somehow for it.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, the only thing that like you get is maybe fuel points if it's fuel points.
I mean, that's what I typically, I'll go to Kroger and just buy gift
right.
cards. But a lot of times at like Costco, they'll have gift cards for really inexpensive. Like you can get like $85 of iTunes gift cards or $100 of iTunes gift cards for $85. So
somehow they're getting you.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah. But anyway, we are talking about movies from the 70s.
Yeah, so instead of this is the year, this is the decade.
The
or
year
the half a decade.
Instead, yeah. I still have this, the year is, because that's what the series is called.
The year but is like, 1975 through 1979.
And I wasn't sure if you said 75 or 74, so I stuck with 75.
I was born in 75.
But I really wanted to go back and throw Young Frankenstein on here, because it was 74.
That was 74.
And I knew you'd call me out on it, so.
Sorry. Sorry.
All right.
I mean, even though one of my favorite movies on the list was only released 6 months after I was born.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Okay, so in all fairness, we agreed not to put Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because that's a given.
Duh.
Duh.
Duh, duh.
I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt
it's,
today,
it's
as
the
usual.
Same thing like if we pulled This Is 1989.
No,
80.
Oh. Yeah,
we wouldn't
Empire.
Do Empire.
Well, I was going to say, if we did 1989, we wouldn't put Batman on there, because duh.
We could do Batman. We could put Batman on there.
But
I'm just saying, like, we've talked so much about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, we put Batman on there because we have never
I
really
guess we
talked
haven't really
about
talked
Tim
too
Burton's
much about
Batman,
Tim Burton's Batman.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We should just do Tim Burton month.
Ugh. Oh, no.
Yes.
No. Please
do it
no.
like do it in November.
Please no.
It's a dark time.
I don't want to watch Tim Burton movies.
We're going to watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Batman.
Was that Tim Burton?
Yes.
Okay, I like a Tim Burton
so,
movie.
So, Pee-wee's Big
Tim
Adventure, Batman, Planet of the Apes, and we'll pick something else.
Oh, I forgot he did that one.
Yeah, with Marky Mark.
That movie was kind of good.
No, it wasn't.
I was just trying to be nice. It was.
It had a lot of great actors in it.
Yeah.
And they tried to do a good job with what they had, but
it was
the only cool thing is the end of the movie when he crashes back on Earth and it's got Thade instead of Lincoln in the memorial.
Yeah. Dark times for Planet of the Apes there.
20th Century Fox just will keep, well, now Disney will just keep pumping them out.
Yeah.
Hopefully. You know.
Cool. All right. You want to go first?
Sure. Are we going to any particular
Let's just go
order?
Chronological.
Chronological order.
Like, yeah. So, like, start with your 1975 movie if you have one and go
yeah,
from there.
I do.
Okay.
1975 is Jaws.
Cool.
Directed by Steven Spielberg, obviously. Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, and Richard Dreyfuss, mm-hmm. the major stars of the movie, and a shark called Bruce.
Shark called Bruce. Good movie.
Good movie. Just enjoy this movie. It's, you know, like kind of a modern day Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Great effects.
Oh yeah.
Great acting. Well, great acting. This is like
the whole thing about Jaws too, right? It's that Hitchcockian thing where like they ended up having to do the Hitchcockian thing with the shark because it didn't work.
Right.
But it's infinitely scarier because they don't overdo it with the shark.
Right. Yeah. The visuals you get from that movie are frightening. I mean, when this movie was released, people don't go in the water.
Right.
You know, whereas I'll punch a shark, but you know. I'll quint that shark with a knife in the side of the head as I'm getting ate.
I had a friend who was a lifeguard at Myrtle Beach when he was in college, and he had swam out because there was a floater.
Okay.
And as he was swimming out, a shark brushed up against him.
Nice.
And he's like, I've never swam as fast in my life as I did to get back to shore.
Right, yeah.
So,
I mean, I've seen him a couple times, you know, Myrtle Beach and Daytona Beach. You see them, but it's like, you're like, I don't know, you know. Like I said, I'd put a knife in the side of a head of a shark if I had to.
Do you swim with a knife? Do you like have a little?
I totally have like a.
Do you have
I,
the little?
I have a machete
calf
on my
on, the,
have,
on your calf.
I totally have a machete on the side of my leg.
So nice.
Everybody's looking at me, but I'm like, you know what? Sharks.
One of those shin knife holsters.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Scabbards, knife scabbards. Anyway, awesome. That's a great movie. The kid watched it. She liked it a
this
lot.
This is a very rewatchable movie.
It's PG.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about it.
And it's just rewatchable. It's a rewatchable movie.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies where anywhere in the movie that it's playing, I'll watch it.
I think The Ringer, they have that rewatchable show. I think they did Jaws for one of them. So very cool. All right. My 1975 movie, I just have one, is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
I love Monty Python. R.I.P. Terry Jones recently died. 77, had some sort of cancer. It was very sad. Anyway, this was the first Monty Python anything I was introduced to when I was in junior high.
Oh wow. Okay.
And then I discovered Flying Circus.
The Life of Brian.
And then Life of Brian is my favorite.
I think is that the one Death shows up at the end, right? Yeah, I seen that when
always
I was like
9 or 10.
I just remember Death showing up.
Yeah. But no, it's such a quotable movie. It's so funny. I love John Cleese. I've always enjoyed anything that he's in, mainly because of Monty Python and Fawlty Towers. It's Eric Idle, is another one who I just kind of.
Well, that whole group.
I know, but they're the two that I like probably the most out of the group, the troupe, if you will. And I'm a sucker for King Arthur stories. So it has like everything. It's funny. It's irreverent. It's King Arthur. There's the Black Knight. The Knights that go neep. All that fun stuff. The bunnies. I love the freaking bunnies.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Moving along.
Who directed it?
The director was Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones.
Oh, okay.
I thought I said that. Maybe I didn't.
You didn't.
So. And it was written by Monty Python.
Well, okay.
So, anywho, but yeah, very cool. What do you got next?
My next one is from 1977, and it's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Another
Great
Steven
movie.
Spielberg
yep.
movie.
The 70s was definitely like Spielberg in his heyday of originality.
I'd say 70s and 80s.
Well, I mean, yeah. But it like really kicked off in the 70s. But yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, so. Jaws was the second movie in that. I think
he had a really good thing going with Richard Dreyfuss there and everything.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah, they had a good thing going.
For nice a little bit. Bromance.
So it's a good movie. Weird movie at times, but I don't know. I remember watching it as a kid and just thought it was a weird movie, and then watching it as an adult and totally understanding more about it. So I don't know. It's got a good cast too. Terry Garr, Melinda Dillon, Francois Truffaut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's a great, like, thinking about aliens and like what would happen and like what their intentions are as they come to Earth.
I think because,
you know, how do we as Earthlings interact?
This movie took it a little bit more serious as to what's out there is what the reason why we got like E.T. and Starman and stuff like that, because, you know, it wasn't
fire in the sky
invasions and that it wasn't alien invasions or anything. It was just, you know, what would we do if we encounter them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that was a what got it going. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, obviously this movie inspired him to do E.T. So, you know, one of the reasons I think it inspired him to do it. There's a pretty interesting documentary on Amazon that I cannot remember the name of, but it's about the town that they shot in.
Okay.
And a lot of the stuff like that was shot for the sequence around Devil's Tower, and that was actually shot like in I want to say Alabama or somewhere down south.
Okay.
And then it's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting documentary, but I can't remember the name of it. I watched it a couple years ago.
Very cool.
What's your next one?
My next one is Rocky from 1976.
Okay.
One, I love the Rocky franchise, just in general.
And this one's the best one.
This is definitely a classic. This and Rocky IV are probably my two favorites. And then both Creed movies. But I really loved Rocky when I was in college, and like I had to do take an acting class, like theater.
Yeah.
Like as an elective type thing. And like we had to do a monologue, and I did a monologue from Rocky.
Ah.
It was I didn't do his voice or anything like
that. Well, sure,
I can't. But yeah, no.
I only had to do that once in drama class in high school. I couldn't remember monologues.
Yeah.
And I had to remember a monologue, and it was the speech from the end of the day the earth stood still.
Nice. Yeah, I did the speech about the turtles.
The turtles.
When he's talking about the turtles.
Oh, when he's talking about his turtles?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's one of my favorite moments. I loved his relationship with Adrian in this movie.
Well, yeah.
And then Adrian Balboa became the biggest wet blanket character in all of movies, where she was just like,
you
can't do it, Rocky.
Or?
In the sequels. She's just like, she lost all belief in him for some reason. She just questioned everything he did.
Because he got rich.
Yeah, well, that's true. But yeah, I loved Burgess Meredith in this because I had known him as the Penguin.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, from the Batman movies, because, you know, and then he shows up in this like, oh, hey. It went on to win 10 Academy Award or get 10 Academy Award nominations,
right.
Won 3, including Best Picture. Sylvester Stallone wrote this movie. I think people sometimes forget that, but... Yeah, it's a classic for a reason, and it's so much fun to watch. It's that true underdog story.
Yeah, it's an inspirational story, and
you know,
all that
I mean, we've talked about this before. I'm a sucker for sports movies. I have
everybody goes to Philadelphia, has to run up the steps, and
yeah,
stand at the top.
So, you got to
do
that.
The Rocky
I think pose. I did that when I was 12 when I went there.
Yeah, they took the statue. And
they
moved
it.
Yeah.
So I remember. I remember the first time I've been to Philadelphia like 3 times in my life. And I remember the first time going there. I had gone to visit my uncle in New York.
Yeah.
Just by myself. And we went to the Reds were playing the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
At like 11 a.m. because it was like a makeup for a double or for a rainout. So they were doing a doubleheader. So we took the Amtrak from New York down to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed until about the seventh inning, left, came back and went to the Bronx. Just came right back to Grand Central, hopped on a train out to the Bronx, and got there for like the third inning of the Yankees Tigers game.
Okay.
And then left that in like the eighth inning, and then went out to watch the Mets play. I don't even remember who, maybe the Expos or something like that. And so three games, six teams. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
So it was an interesting day. I was beat for sure. But anyway, just the side note about Philly there. But no, Rocky is just a really important movie to me, and you know, it's just something, you know, I've boxed, and like not professionally or anything like that, but like, you know, I learned how to box, and I actually have a southpaw stance, but not because of Rocky or anything. Okay. It's just, that's my, like, just during martial arts and things like that, that's my comfortable stance. So it's why I ski or I ride skateboard switch. So anyway,
all right,
what do you got next? I think we've got, are you going, do you have any more for 77? Are you into 78? Okay.
78.
So I think we have Superman, Animal House, and Grease all. You have all three of those, right?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So we can just talk about those as a, let's start. Want to do Animal House first? Just for.
Yeah, sure.
So John Landis, we talked about this Animal House already when they did the Netflix mockumentary thing.
Years ago.
Yeah. But
years ago. Yep.
Animal House is a 100% classic movie. John Landis directed, Harold Ramis, Doug Kenny, and Chris Miller wrote it.
This movie like has a lot of documentaries.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
So Tim Matheson is in it. And like, I swear he didn't start aging until like last year.
Yeah, because in Jumanji, he actually looks older. And I mean, some of that was makeup when when it was the, before they changed the history.
Yeah.
And that, but yeah, he looked the same in Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
And that was almost 20 years later.
And like when he was in Van Wilder, which was even after Tommy Boy, he looked just like Badger. Anyway, but yeah, no, just such a great movie. Donald Sutherland is the creepy college professor is one of my favorite things about this movie.
Yeah.
Always makes me laugh. You know, it was like I had a professor who used to do like parties, like I'm using air quotes. Parties. Because it was an English
like
class.
Book readings.
And now it would be like a it would be movies. It would be movies and stuff. I went once because
isn't that sad? An English professor that's like having people come over to watch a movie.
And I remember going to one. And I never went back because he had seven cats. And,
Okay.
I'm super allergic. So I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to die. But no, Animal House is great. It was, you know, that whole National Lampoon thing between this and Caddyshack and even Van Wilder is a National Lampoon movie.
But watching all of those, this is the strongest of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, the antics in this movie lead off like I said with Close Encounters leads off like the movies of the 80s Alien Encounters, and the antics in this movie lead off Revenge of the Nerds and
Porky's
and stuff like that that we got in the 80s that, you know, are classics in their own right, but like this is the trendsetter right here. And that, and just a fun movie. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Belushi was at his best probably in this. Like, you know, I don't think that the drugs had taken hold of him as much as they did with Blues Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, John Vernon I've always liked and stuff. Yep. Like, always is the tough guy.
We got Kevin Bacon in his
first
role.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Bacon. Karen Allen.
All is well. All is well.
I like Thank You, Sir, May I Have Another.
That one too, yeah. Niedermeyer is one of the best, like, bully villains in, like...
Do you know what... I've met him.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff.
He was the master on Buffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, you wouldn't know it unless you, like, read the credits and that, but, like, he was a pretty awesome guy to meet in that, so, yeah.
I loved Niedermeyer. Niedermeyer just as the
bad
guy.
Just with a horse. And...
Hey, Niedermeyer. Yeah. But yeah, no, Animal House is awesome. An amazing movie. It's well worth watching repeatedly every year. Yeah. All right. So next up, we had Grease.
Yep.
The musical, which was directed by Randall Kleiser.
Mm-hmm.
The screenplay was by Bronte Woodward, and it's based on Grease by Jim Jacobs and Warren Casey. And, of course, starred John Travolta. I mean, the cast in this one is crazy. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, Stockard Channing, Frankie Avalon, you know, Sid Caesar. It, like, the list just goes on and on.
Ed Burns, who just died recently, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, we watched this one a lot kind of growing up because, you know, the girls we dated this. And, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever. You know.
Yeah, it had its a trending popularity a few years ago.
You know, they did that horrific, like, live one on Fox or whatever.
I actually enjoyed that. That was not that bad.
I did not care for it.
Yeah.
I hate when they try and add new stuff to that sort of thing. I've seen the play. Not on Broadway, but I've seen it, like, off-Broadway. It's fun. I actually like Grease 2, which didn't come out until 1982. It's not a good movie,
it's
but...
It's terrible.
Max Caulfield was fun, and Michelle Pfeiffer was super hot in that one. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, the music in this one is great. The songs are you know, it's fun to sing along.
Sure.
And it's fun to watch, and then they're stuck in your head for months at a time.
I've seen this in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember seeing this in a theater because I remember how fun the
end of the
movie. Yeah, I was three. My mom and dad took me to see this. My mom was pretty pregnant when this came
out.
Yeah. And I just remember thinking how fun the fair looked at the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because as a kid, you're like, oh, cool, the rides and blah, blah. But, like, you know, I don't remember much else. I remember where we seen it, but that's about it. Yeah.
You went home and you were doing the hand jive thing.
Sure, yeah, yeah. I was racing cars.
Go,
down, exactly. Down underneath Beachmont Levy, racing cars with the other kids.
Johnny's in his dad's garage, standing in the car, like doing the fingers and the and all the choreography.
Wearing leather jackets everywhere.
Over your greased up overalls.
Yep, exactly.
Or coveralls, not overalls. All right. No, Grease is fun. Like, if you haven't seen it, like, who are you? Like, are you even human? Welcome to planet Earth.
I mean, you know, everybody has their thing,
I guess. All right. The next one is Superman the movie.
At least I hope you know what Grease is. That's all I can say.
Sure.
Superman
the movie, directed by Richard Donner, written by Mario Puzo, David Newman, Leslie Newman, and Robert Benton. Mario Puzo, famous for writing The Godfather.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's why Marlon Brando's in this movie.
Well, yeah. I get that.
Krypton.
You are the last son of Krypton. I love his delivery.
Solid cast.
Brando,
Gene Hackman, Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder.
Ned Beatty.
Jackie Cooper, Ned Beatty. Glenn Ford.
Yep. Terrence Stamp. Let's not forget Terrence Stamp. Well, he has a little bit, but...
Terrence Stamp's... You know. Jeff East has more. Jeff East is the guy who plays young Clark Kent, and he's got more, and he doesn't even... They don't use his voice. And that... It was Christopher Reeve voiced over him.
So, I love this movie. I mean, what... Is it a perfect movie? No. Is it...
Is there a such thing as a perfect movie?
So here's the only issue
because
I have.
Because every movie critic, every movie person would tell you their meaning of a perfect movie, and none of them would ever match.
No.
None of them would ever match. Is this a perfect comic book movie? Almost.
I would argue.
Almost a perfect comic book movie.
So here's my beef with this movie.
Okay.
Is they refuse to reboot the Superman mythology until Man of Steel. Like, the Brandon Routh one, the Superman Returns, should have just been a net new Superman movie. It shouldn't have tried to be a sequel to Superman 2, eliminating Superman 3 and 4.
I don't think that was a decision that was made by the studio. I think that was the director.
Well, and I get that. And Bryan Singer shat the bed.
Brandon Routh, Singer should have stuck to X-Men movies.
Brandon Routh got screwed out of a good Superman movie because he was a good Superman. And like we saw him just.
But he was playing Crisis. He was playing an actor playing a Superman. Right. He wasn't even playing an original Superman.
That's what I'm saying. Like I was because I liked him as Superman.
He made that Superman his Superman on The Crisis. That Christopher Reeve Superman became his Superman in Crisis.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that he does deserve like maybe a mini series or something playing that and just like,
that'd be really
you
cool.
know, showing what happened in the world after Joker had shown up. In
yeah. I mean, that movie miscast Lois Lane with Kate Bosworth and all of that. But
you know,
the stupid kid.
Flavor of the month. Flavor of the month.
Kevin Spacey was a really good Lex Luthor.
No, he wasn't. No, he was not.
You didn't like him?
No.
No.
No. You go back and watch this movie and then watch that movie.
Oh, Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
So it's
there's actors that they could have cast.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That would have been better.
For me, Lex Luthor is 1 and 1A, Gene Hackman and Clancy Brown. So.
An animated voice actor and an actor.
I get it. Right. I mean, still, Kevin Conroy is
an excellent voice actor.
Batman, but, well, not
an excellent voice actor.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. This movie was amazing. The whole tagline, you can believe a man will fly.
Yeah.
The special effects were groundbreaking. They still hold up.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve was amazing as both sides, Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah. There's some, like, moments in this movie that, you know, you really get pulled into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as emotional and that, besides when his father dies. But the moment when he's going to reveal himself to her and she's in the other room and he's talking to her is like one of the most emotional moments in the movie. And I'm like, you know, Donner did a really good job with this movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Do you have anything else in 1978?
I do.
Okay.
Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Halloween.
From John Carpenter.
From Rob Zombie.
No. No. Another one that. Just no. Donald Pleasance, Jamie Lee Curtis, PJ Souls, Charles Cyphers. This is just a pretty awesome movie.
It's a great movie. I don't like horror movies, and I like the Halloween.
And I wish
movies.
They would just leave it alone.
You don't want them to keep going back and doing it over and over.
Stop trying
again.
To do sequel, prequel, whatever you're doing.
Retellings.
Yeah.
Reimaginings, whatever.
Well, no, it's not even like the stuff that's going on now isn't reimaginings. And I didn't really have that much of a problem with the new Halloween, the Blumhouse Halloween.
Yeah.
But just at a certain point, let it go. Mm-hmm. Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Come up with something new. You know, create a whole new Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Like you said with Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Something new. Michelle Myers.
No, no. Let's not do that either.
You don't want to do that?
No. No.
Instead of a William Shatner mask, it's like something else.
Kate Mulgrew mask.
Yeah,
so it's a Star Trek captain, you know. This movie's just it's a great horror movie. It's a fun movie. And that's and just growing up watching this movie it makes me appreciate like thrillers more than horror, you know, even though there's some horrible moments in this movie. But that's where Rob Zombie screwed it up.
Yeah.
It's because he went straight blood and guts, like horror and not
torture
enough.
Porn.
Not even torture porn, but because it's not torture porn. It's just, you know.
Gratuity for gratuity's sake.
I mean, when the one girl's boyfriend gets killed in Rob Zombie's and the blood pours all over her, I'm like, really? I'm like, come on. That's so, you know, that type of thing. But this movie is. I think John Carpenter's really had a bad movie that I can think of. Escape from LA is probably the worst of John Carpenter's movies, and it's still like relevant to the time type thing.
I think my favorite is probably Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, I'd have a hard time picking like a favorite.
Like, you know, Escape from New York is great, obviously. The Thing was great.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, so my last one for 1978. Is Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
It was almost 1979 because it came out on December 22nd. This is a remake of the 1956 film, which is based on the novel The Body Snatchers by Jack Finney, which is one of my favorite books. Philip Kaufman directed. Now let's talk about this cast. You have Donald Sutherland, Brooke Adams, mm-hmm. Leonard Nimoy, Jeff Goldblum, and Veronica Cartwright as like the top billed stars.
Yeah.
That's a huge cast. I love Donald Sutherland, one of my favorite all-time actors. You know, I loved him in the Buffy movie.
Sure.
I loved him in that role, but like his role in Backdraft as the arsonist was great.
He's
you know,
pretty
that's where
good in everything.
Yeah, he's good in everything.
Like
so.
When they cast him as President Snow in the Hunger Games, they did not make a mistake.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because when I read the books before the I read the books before the movie and stuff, like he's kind like I kind of pictured him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Somebody else did too.
Yeah, obviously. So, but no, this is it's a really good movie. You know. Being a fan of the Outer Limits and Twilight Zone type stuff,
sure.
Like it's kind of in that vein. The 1956 one, I would argue, is better just because they did it first.
Well, it's more terrifying because the black and white, the black and white, I think, adds to the terror of some movies. Kevin McCarthy is a great actor, and just you know. When he's running down the street at the end is like, you know, one of the best things in the world. But, you know, they've done like since this movie, they've done like three or four more remakes.
Yeah.
Retellings,
reimaginings.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, you don't have to stick to the source material on something like this because you can literally let your imagination run wild.
Yeah.
And that, This movie has one of the more terrifying moments in a movie, though, at the end when Donald Pleasance is one of them.
Yeah.
I just remember that. I haven't watched this movie in a long time, but
yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, I haven't watched
that,
it in probably
like,
2 or 3 years.
Man, I'm like, that is the Scream. The Scream
right?
thing. Yeah. Oh, God.
So here's the funny thing. Is this movie opened on 445 screens and between December 22nd when it premiered in Christmas, December 25th, it made almost $1.3 million.
Okay.
Which for back then, in 1979, movies were like a buck, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe less.
I was going to say, there was no blizzard that year, so half the country wasn't trapped in their houses.
Right. So, I mean, it was for the time, it was a bona fide hit. It went on to make $25 million domestically.
78?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a blizzard that year.
It was the year before.
No, there was a blizzard 2 years in a row.
I was a baby. So, anyway. All right. Do you have anything for 19? Well, obviously, 1979 is the only year we have left.
Yeah.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. And I think
have
we
four.
Have crossover with one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alien.
So, Alien.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott.
Another thriller.
This is my favorite Alien movie. I know, you know, a lot of people like Aliens. The best because of James Cameron.
I can't compare them.
I don't think they're the same movie, the same kind. They're barely the same genre.
Yeah. I mean, Aliens is a military action movie and Alien is a thriller.
It's a psychological, like, you know.
Yeah, it's what I say about stuff where you can take something in the same universe and tweak it and make a different story. And that it's the discussion we've had about Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yep.
So, you know, but a solid movie, a solid cast, Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, Harry Dean Stanton, Veronica Cartwright, John Hurt, Ian Holm, and Yaphet Kotto.
Yep.
Did I miss somebody? No, I didn't.
No.
That's everybody.
That's everybody.
Oh, the cat. The cat and the actor who played the alien.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
So, yeah, I just, this is an all around great movie. It's terrifying. It was parodied fantastically in Spaceballs.
Aliens.
Yeah, well, Aliens.
No, like, no, you know. Spaceballs had a good moment and used John Hurt.
Yep.
So.
And the whole like thing bursting out of someone's chest has been done because of this.
Well, yeah. I mean, the H.R. Giger inspirations.
Yeah.
Are still being used throughout. Like I was reading actual trivia on Discovery, and a lot of the designs of the Klingon stuff is inspired by H.R. Giger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have the... So on Discovery, they have a very distinct like brow ridge, but then the back of their head is also...
Well, they all look
distinct.
Different.
Now,
like the houses all look different, but... yeah, I literally like thought, yeah, you know, Giger really like did a thing for this movie that I don't think like people really like give attention to as much as you would mm-hmm. think. So the name of the guy who played the alien was Bolaji Badejo.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Helen Horton played the voice of the mother, computer.
The computer.
Yep. This is a very small cast of people that...
Which is part of what leads to its greatness.
Yeah.
Is because... So I was thinking about that, right? What was that? I was watching something... Oh, I was thinking about... As I was watching Discovery, right? I love The Expanse. Like, The Expanse is one of my favorite shows of all time now. And I love The Expanse because it's such a small central cast.
Right.
And I'm watching Discovery, and I realized the helmswoman with the little metal thing that keeps her eye in place.
Detmer.
Yeah, I had to look up her name.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. And, like, you know, the android thing.
That one I don't remember.
I don't even know its name.
Yeah.
And it's because that cast is so big.
Well, it's the thing where there's a central cast.
Yeah.
On that show, and then there's the supporting cast, and that I just like, you know, I don't know.
And I felt like with Aliens, it was a bigger cast than this, not by much, but it was a little bit.
No,
bigger.
Not really. And I mean, they get pared down so fast right. that you know it's just a like.
Well, thing. In both movies, they get pared down very.
Well, yeah,
but I think mean, we like, spend a little more time.
Well, they
with
take
the
out like
crew.
A lot of people from Aliens get taken out right there yeah. when they get into the. The air evaporator.
Yeah.
And there's a shirt that I've seen online where you can buy it, and it has the Marines listed.
Oh.
Like
oh,
Apone cool. and all of them are listed on that. And that. I remember most of their names, but, you know, it's the same with this crew. It's like you remember them all for what they did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how they died.
All right. What do you got next?
The Black Hole.
Which... If you want to hear our in-depth coverage of that, jump back 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
three at this
It's
point.
Directed by Gary so. Nelson. The major stars in it were Ernest Borgnine, Anthony Perkins, Yvette Mimeau, and Maximilian Schell.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Great movie all the way around. It was scary the way it was supposed to be scary for a kid.
Go watch it on Disney Plus. I
it's
think
on
people
Disney
are
Plus,
like
it's on
realizing now that.
Well, so it's funny since Disney Plus launched, there's yeah. been all these articles about like yeah. go watch these things from the 70s.
Yeah,
we literally have podcasts about all of them.
Yeah, like well, and it was that thing where we did what Disney Sci-Fi.
Yeah,
and it was Flight of the Navigator,
20,000
Black
Leagues.
Hole, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and Tron.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like. How do you not see these movies?
Right.
You know, because the streaming wasn't there for them.
How do you just, yeah, how do you not like
and now I'm like,
watch these movies?
I'm literally like, when I see an article pop up, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
You should just respond yeah. with the link to the podcast.
I think I did to the one because nice. I was like, yeah. really?
Oh, I think it's because like Joe posted something and
I commented with the,
like,
yeah.
here's our link
hey,
to
we did this 2 years ago.
We're ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it was just one of those things where, you know, and I don't think you had seen it until I said.
No, I'd seen it. I just hadn't seen it in a long time.
And it was just one of those things where I'm like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Because like.
Well, because I hadn't seen 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea since I was like maybe seven.
Yeah.
And I remember being scared of it.
Yeah.
Because of the creature. But Black Hole I'd seen a few times and I just hadn't watched it in probably five or six years.
It's one of those ones where like you really need to watch
it.
And I can remember like back in the days when Media Play was around.
Oh yeah.
And they had a 10 box set and it was a metal tin and it was bigger than average for VHS.
Mm-hmm.
It had a book, it had like postcards and all this stuff in it. And I was just like, I just remembered that movie from when I was a kid and bought it. I didn't even have any qualms about buying it and watched it like three or four times in a week.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, that's a classic that doesn't get enough of the classic.
Love, yeah.
Love. So what's your next one?
Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
Heart of Darkness is a book I loved growing up and
yeah.
reading in high school and things like that. I've read it a few times since then. Coppola, I enjoy Coppola. I'm not gonna say I love Coppola as a director, but I definitely enjoy Coppola as a director.
Yeah.
I have an affinity for this movie because of a book called The Droid Maker. which I've talked about a couple times. So the behind the scenes of the technology of how the movie was made.
Yeah.
And then just the behind the scenes drama that went with this movie where, you know, Martin Sheen had a heart attack making this movie.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando was amazingly difficult to deal with for Coppola on set and
which they worked together.
They did.
In that,
but they, like, they ended up, but Coppola ended up going a lot of different ways with Kurtz because
Coppola kind of became Kurtz.
Well, that's part of the problem.
Right.
You know, Dennis Hopper is in this movie and I love his character. We get a very young Lawrence Fishburne in this movie.
Yeah.
Then my favorite, probably most quoted line, I love the smell of napalm in the morning,
right, yeah.
Which I think Mallrats did the best takeoff is I love the smell of commerce in the morning when Brody walks into the mall. It's a long movie. It's got a 147-minute runtime.
Yeah, you're investing. You're investing.
And that's the theatrical release. That's not even
the director's cut.
The redo. But it's
this one is on streaming.
It is. It's always somewhere.
Yeah.
It is a masterclass in acts, like story acts.
Right.
It's got a very definitive beginning, middle of an end, act 1, 2, and 3.
I think I've only seen this like twice.
Where it's like, so if you look at Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Right. Full Metal Jacket is a tale of two movies. The beginning with Vincent D'Onofrio is one movie where they focus on his and Joker's relationship, Matthew Modine.
Right.
And then the second half of the movie is Matthew Modine trying to be a journalist in Vietnam, having gone through boot camp. And it's not nearly as engaging as the beginning when they were in boot camp. So it's just one of those things that this is a movie that I think works really well to tell an expansive story that's sad and beautiful and interesting and heartbreaking all at the same time.
Well, I mean, Coppola had experience with Godfather where that is a kind of a chapter story type movie where this that built on this one because he had that experience. And I think that, it's definitely an investment to watch this movie.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing is George Lucas was originally supposed to direct this movie.
Star Wars. Nothing Star Wars.
So he became unavailable. And so Coppola was going to produce it and Lucas was going to direct it.
Because they were friends. They are friends.
They've been friends. Yeah. So,
but they were friends from film school.
And so that's so again, I'm going to pitch The Droid Maker.
Yeah.
Just look it up on Amazon. Unfortunately, it's only in hardback. There's not a paperback version, and there's not an electronic version. I would love an audiobook version of that book.
Why don't you just read it and then cut your own audiobook? You've got the equipment.
I've thought about it.
See?
I really have thought about it. It's like 1,600 pages, though.
You could do that in like 2 months.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Probably.
Every moment of your free time, just in here recording The Droid Maker.
But the whole like cinema technology arms race that went into making this and making Star Wars, the fact that Coppola ran out of money multiple times, making this film, it was over 1 million feet of actual film that they had to edit. Think about that. 1 million feet.
Yeah.
Like I can't even fathom a million feet of
The film. Current thing where Coppola and them jumped on the bandwagon of the Marvel movies and that, he's kind of at fault for that.
What do you mean?
The effects and all that type of stuff. Yeah. That stuff wouldn't exist. The stuff that goes into what a Marvel movie is wouldn't exist if it wasn't for George Lucas and Francis Ford Coppola.
Their giant pissing contest of who could outdo who.
Let's see who can do the most.
Well, because like the whole helicopter scene at the beginning with
the napalm in the morning.
Valkyries and, is that, that's right.
Yeah, it's right of the Valkyries because they use it in Watchmen.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, like, what went into making that scene?
Sure.
And the fact that it was a practical effect with real explosions and, like, the actors were in peril, like while they were
shot in California, wasn't it? Like shot
somewhere,
in,
yeah. I forget, but yeah. So,
but
I
they
don't
used like a little bit of like effects in that because there's some things they had to hide in the background in that because it was shot in California.
Nominated for 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Duvall. It won Best Cinematography and Best Sound.
Okay.
So, anyway, cool. What do you got next?
My next one is a movie called Time After Time, directed by Nicholas Meyer. And it's about H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a time travel movie.
I haven't seen that one.
It's good. I don't know if it's on streaming
or
not.
I'll have to track
that. Yeah. Malcolm McDowell plays H.G. Wells. David Warner plays Jack the Ripper.
Oh, cool.
And it literally has it where H.G. Wells built the time machine and revealed it to his friends, who Jack the Ripper unknowingly is one of his friends, one of his doctor friends. So he builds this machine. He shows it to his friends, and the night he shows it to his friends is the night that they figure out that the doctor is Jack the Ripper.
Interesting.
Track him down to H.G. Wells' house, and he steals the time machine.
Ah.
And he goes to the future.
Okay.
1979 San Francisco. I want to say San Francisco. It was San Francisco, which makes no sense because the time machine's not supposed to be displaced locally, just in time. But it has it where the machine was set to go back to the past. So H.G. Wells goes to the future and tracks him down and meets Mary Steenburgen.
Oh.
So she's, yeah. And it's pretty much just a fun little adventure movie. And that, and I think this movie is the reason why Nicholas Meyer directed Star Trek II.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a fun movie. It's fun to see Malcolm McDowell play the good guy.
Yeah.
And that, he's always, and David Warner is always good as a bad guy. So,
oh, yeah.
You know. But yeah, it's a fun movie. If you can't find it, I'll let you borrow it.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely want to borrow that.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
I'll bring the VHS over.
I gave you my VHS player years ago, and I
forgot I had the VHS tape of this, and I was like, oh, cool, I forgot I had that.
Very good.
And that, but yeah, I think I have it on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your next one?
Breaking Away.
Okay.
Sports movie. Yeah. You know, yeah. I love sports movies. Directed by Peter Yates, starring Dennis Quaid, Daniel Stern, Jackie Earle Haley, Barbara Barry, Paul Dooley, and Robin Douglas. This movie holds a special place in my heart because I've been to Little Five a few times at IU Bloomington, Indiana University. And it was shot in and around the campus. You know, the whole, do you know what Little Five,
once.
Okay. So Little Five is
a long time ago.
It's a bike race that they do every year where they do 500 laps. And it's a team.
Sure.
But like you never stop. So as you're getting off, the next person is getting on the bike. And it's like the fraternities and things do that. And, these guys were all independents.
Okay.
Like they weren't involved in a fraternity or anything. And they were kind of like not the cool kids on campus or anything like that. So they ended up, but they ended up doing really well.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's that
I think I've seen this movie when I was 10.
Yeah. It's another one of those coming of age type things that I really appreciate. This movie and 1984's American Flyer with Kevin Costner.
Yeah, American Flyers, I remember.
Is,
very young Kevin Costner.
I will usually, he has an amazing mustache in that movie. Radon Chong. And then the lady who was the lieutenant in Baywatch, Stephanie something.
Alexandra Paul.
Yeah. So
was that her in American Flyers?
Yep.
I thought it was Laurie Singer.
Nope. It was Alexandra Paul topless.
Okay.
So, but yeah, this is
weird.
It's
I
just
always
a
thought
really...
that was Laurie Singer.
So Breaking Away is it's just a really fun movie that's interesting and a little heartbreaking, and you know they're the cutters are really really cool, and I don't know, like I said, it's just something I like.
It's one of those movies that you enjoy to watch.
I knew about Little Five obviously from this movie, so when I went in college, when I had friends at IU who invited me,
you went to go see it for real.
Oh yeah, I was like,
you're like, yeah,
they're like, it was funny because they're like, we're not going to the race. I'm like, I'm going to the race. Yeah. I mean, like, I'll meet you guys for drinks for sure. Trust me, I'm going to drink.
Like,
but
if
I'm
you
going
enjoy
the
movie, yeah. then that's something that you can experience for real. Yep. Then you may as well experience it.
And it was really neat. And it was really fun to watch. Made me kind of sad that it didn't go to IU.
Yeah, it's fun because the idea of, and, you know, I've watched YouTube videos of people who've done this. Like, there's a lot of these places that still exist that these movies were shot. So it's fun to watch people go and, you know, show like Devil's Tower and stuff like that. And, you know, Halloween was shot in Los Angeles. So a lot of the streets still exist and a lot of the stuff still exists. The house that was the Myers house was moved, but it still exists. So that's fun to watch that type of stuff.
Yep.
My last one.
Your last one.
The Warriors.
So that was the one that I had on my list that I took off.
Directed by Walter Hill.
Love that movie.
It's an awesome movie. Walter Hill did some pretty unique movies that, you know, kind of a mythology in that. So, and I didn't know about this movie until like I started going to Horror Hound.
Okay.
Because Horror Hound actually, they were fans of this movie and they brought in some of the actors and that, and I won a copy of the movie at Horror Hound.
Oh, nice.
So I went home and watched it immediately and was like, how did I never
see it? Oh, you hadn't seen it before?
I had never seen this movie. And the funny thing is, I love one of his other movies called Streets of Fire.
Great movie.
And I'm like, they're so similar in ways. I'm like, how did I miss this movie forever? And that, but yeah, it's a favorite now.
Very cool.
The bottle clinking Warriors come out to play is just
Warriors come out and play.
And that guy, it's like, I'm like, wait a minute, I know that guy. He was in The Crow.
So if you get a chance, you have to go look up like some of the street gangs that you didn't see.
Oh yeah.
Like the like that sort of stuff is great. I forget the name, the guy who they killed at the train, at the subway, the warrior who got killed.
Oh
there.
Yeah, the one who's in the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that guy was like a pain in the ass on set.
That's why they killed him.
And the director was like, all right, I've had enough, and just killed him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of like really cool behind the scenes stuff that you guys should check out and read about this movie because, it's very, very interesting. The whole street gangs with
well, like themes. James Remar,
yeah,
is like high as a kite for real in a lot of this movie. Like I've heard interviews with him on podcasts where like he was high as a kite. You know, he was supposed to be Hicks in Aliens, right?
No,
they shot scenes with him, and that, and he was so high that at one point James Cameron just fired him.
Okay.
And that, and like his scenes existed and they had to go back and reshoot him with Bean.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things.
It was like Back to the Future with
Eric Stoltz.
Not that Eric Stoltz was high, just he wasn't funny.
Which actor was that? I'm trying to find him now. No, this movie's fun, like just because it's like, you know, nowadays everything, like we always say, everything's technology on the internet and that. And like when they're trying to help the Warriors or track down the Warriors, it's all done over radio broadcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's fun. Like just the dialogue of the actors in this movie is like fantastical at certain points. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's just a fun, weird movie with a great cast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, Michael Beck,
great young cast,
James Remar, David Harris, Deborah Van Valkenburg, like these people show up throughout the 80s, another thing. And that, and you know, I love like Roger Hill that plays Cyrus, the Can You Dig It? That thing's like one of the
so
coolest
like,
things in a movie.
Booker T, the wrestler,
yeah,
did the Can You Dig It as part of his thing. In Pitch Perfect 2, David Cross does it in the whatever the riff off thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you know that, like, I always enjoy seeing like the takes on that. The Warriors come out and play. They did that on Community with the I think it was the second or third paintball war. So yeah.
Here's an interesting little trivia bit.
Oh yeah,
I just popped up. President Ronald Reagan was a fan of this film, even calling the film's lead actor, Michael Beck, to tell him he had screened it at Camp David and enjoyed it.
That makes sense.
That's pretty
it
awesome.
It makes sense that Reagan liked this movie.
It's just a great movie.
Yeah. It was overall like a negatively reviewed when it first came out because they said it lacked realism and they found the dialogue stilted. But like you look back at that movie now.
Well, it's
and
just
it's
like what I said. Like, it's, not, right. it's like fantastical.
Like, it's like so great. Like you have to, you know, have that.
Well, it's the same thing with Streets of Fire. It's like fantastical, yeah. but based on reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay. That's kind of cool.
So, Tony Scott had planned to do a remake before he killed himself, by the way.
Please don't.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the list alone of gangs that's on the trivia on IMDb yeah. is like one of those things where you're like, what the hell? So, yeah.
All right. My last movie.
Yeah.
The Jerk.
Okay. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's
a fun movie.
My special purpose is movie. I love that he didn't know he was white. I love, like, you know, the handle for your glasses. Like, there's
a lot in there that.
So The Jerk is directed by Carl Reiner, which, you know, this might be my favorite Carl Reiner movie. Steve Martin, Carl Gottlieb. Michael Ellis wrote this. Steve Martin, Bernadette Peters, Caitlin Adams, and Jackie Mason star in this movie. I mean, this is this and The Man with Two Brains are probably my two favorite Steve Martin movies.
Okay.
Followed just nipping at the heels is L.A. Story. But, yeah, I love Steve Martin in this movie. He's so, so, so funny. Navin R. Johnson. I love how when he becomes rich, just the shit that he buys and does. It's like, oh, I'm smiling. I don't know if you guys can hear the smile yeah. that's on my face right now, but just think about the movie. It makes me very, very happy. His alias was Pig Eye Jackson.
See, and there's a weird looking up the trivia on these things is like blows your mind sometimes. Oh, yeah. It says Stanley Kubrick was a big admirer of this film.
Yeah.
He would often recite lines from the film to cast and crew on his films, and he once invited Steve Martin over so they could play chess.
All right.
I'm like, how weird would it be to get a call from Stanley Kubrick? Hey, I love The Jerk. Come over and play chess with me.
He's like, hey, Johnny, I love the Infest podcast. Come play chess. And you're why are you calling me from beyond the grave?
I was
going
to say, if you're calling me now.
Hello from the other side.
Yeah.
So anyway. There was a televised film sequel called The Jerk 2.
Okay.
Starring Mark Blankenfeld as Navin and Stacey Nelkin. It was produced but not written by Steve Martin.
Okay.
So he was tangentially
involved.
He let
it happen?
Yeah. He took the check for it.
Yeah, I was going to say that's I got to pay the bills.
Yeah. We're going to the south of France for a month.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway. This is on Bravo ranks this number 20 on their 100 funniest films.
Okay.
AFI has it as 89 number 89
of
on
all,
100 years yeah. 100 laughs. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Just a fantastic movie. If you haven't watched it, like
I haven't watched it in years.
I would say
but...
if you want to laugh really hard, like Steve Martin is definitely a go-to, right?
Oh yeah,
do
sure.
The Jerk, The Man with Two Brains, L.A. Story, 30 Rotten Scoundrels, and Three Amigos.
Yeah,
those five movies. If you like, just need a laugh, any of them will
sure
make
yeah.
you laugh and be great. You know. The thing with the Three Amigos with him is the whole the infamous, like
yeah.
a lot of people, like, you know, when they're like, oh, is it infamous? And mm-hmm. you know, it's like, yep, yes, it is. The Great El Guapo.
The Great El Guapo.
Anywho, all right, so that's the second half of the 70s.
Yeah,
so we don't have too many more 70s movies on.
He's so glad. I'm so glad.
Well, it's funny because, like, I do like a lot of movies from the 70s, I just had a hard time picking. Like, it was just, I don't know why.
I don't know.
Part of it, too, is I haven't seen a lot of these movies in a long time. So.
See, and that's the thing is, like, I watch some of these movies at least twice a year.
So, because I don't have cable, I don't have Turner Classic Movies anymore. And
yeah.
So, that's when, like, a lot of the stuff would be on Turner Classic Movies, and I would watch it then, but
none of this stuff is ever on Turner Classic Movies.
Some of it. Some of mine.
Close Encounters, anyway, maybe.
But like, you know, like Breaking Away was on like TNT like constantly growing up. Right. You know, things like that.
But it's so, not anymore.
Not right? anymore. Yeah. But anyway.
TNT is full of television shows and stuff like that now.
Basketball.
Yeah. So
speaking of basketball, RIP Kobe. He's one of my favorite players of all time, so it's kind of sad.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody who passed away in the helicopter crash. That's just terrible. Did you, so, like, did you read anything about what happened with,
nope.
with that? Or
nope.
So,
it's just an accident just that happened, yeah.
So, he's been flying, like, having been flown in this helicopter around L.A. for years, right?
Well, sure, yeah.
And he did it so he could spend more time with his kids and less time in traffic.
Well, yeah, he was... what was it? He was coaching their team.
Yeah.
It yeah. was, his oldest daughter
and
yeah.
a couple of the girls were on the,
yeah.
on with him.
And that, so. And then like, a couple of his associates,
yep.
like business associates
yep.
and that were on there.
So,
and that,
but anyway,
you know, it sucks, but
it's
people
sad.
Die.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do,
you know.
But you know, it's just weird. Cause like, I mean, I don't know. He's 41. He was a larger than life personality. He's done a lot since he finished as a
sure.
professional basketball
yeah.
player, won an Emmy, won a Oscar,
right.
you know, so had some great venture capital stuff going with business and,
yeah.
and that sort of thing. But so, you know, hopefully all the families that were affected, you know.
It's a sad thing.
Yeah,
life goes on, but it's a sad thing.
It is.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else?
Nothing else?
No.
No.
Cool. Johnny's going to watch Picard and we're going to talk about that next week.
Maybe. Maybe wait until the end.
I, you know what?
It's 10 episodes, right?
I don't know how many. Here's what I would like to do. It's talk about the first two episodes and then wait and like see if our expectations.
Yeah, but you don't do that.
From
you don't do that because
well,
you said we were going to do that with Mandalorian, and then every week you wanted to talk about Mandalorian
because it was so good.
So I'll just wait till the end and then we'll talk about the whole thing.
Fine.
Yeah.
Be that way.
Yeah.
All right.
There's other things to talk about. There's things
definitely.
Coming up.
All right. Well, on that note,
we are out of here.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Later. The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.